And he joins us each week on this show, the quarterback, Bernie Kosar. And, Bernie, it was fun while it lasted. Enjoyed that that three-game run. And it does come to not just a screeching halt, but I think maybe the more troublesome thing was, for the first time this season, really, you might look at the Giants game and say, well, that wasn't one that the Browns had a whole lot of chance in, although they were leading and it came away that way. They did get a lead in this game. But I thought this was a game where they just didn't play well and where you didn't feel, even in losing, that it was something positive you could look at.
Well, I thought in the game, you know, we have a three-game winning streak. We jump out 7-0. You know, the brain can't help but start thinking about, you know, getting another one and how good things are feeling. But Washington really showed that, one, they're a really good team. Mike Shanahan and his staff did a phenomenal job. And me and Coach Shanahan go back many years. Actually, the first time I ever got in a plane, 17-year-old kid, fly down to University of Florida, and Coach Shanahan greets me. He was the offensive coordinator at Gainesville back then for the Gators. And our paths have crossed much through the years in the AFC Championship games when he was the coordinator for John Elway early on, and some of those games we like not to remember, like the drive and the fumble.
Yeah.
But he's got so much experience, and he's been good with quarterbacks throughout his career. And I thought that the systemically, they call a fantastic game and had a fantastic game plan.
Yeah, there was really, really good work done by Shanahan, his son Kyle, the offensive coordinator, Jim Haslett, who I know you know well as the defensive coordinator. You played against him when he was a linebacker in this league for Buffalo. And, yeah, I look at it as sort of a game that, again, was one where for the first time this year, too, even though Brandon Whedon has had some rough outings, the Philadelphia game was his worst, but I'd put this one probably right behind that one, those two picks being the huge difference in this game. But it wasn't just that, Bernie. He was off target on some throws. He didn't look comfortable in other situations. He just didn't seem to be in that place of confidence throughout the game.
Well, unfortunately, I think I have to concur with you. The Washington, during the game, we were running some bunch formations and things. They were bringing their safeties up, both safeties up. So it made the pre-snap read a little bit challenging and tough to see. It was even tough to see for me up in a nice seat looking down at all 22, let alone being at field level where you don't see as good. But I thought that, you know, there was times where probably was looking at the receiver a little quicker than he wanted to. I think he understands. There's no doubt he understands his reads. I had this issue at times where I had to make myself not go to the guys too quick, because in turn then you look at them too quick and the play hasn't developed. The defense hasn't expanded. And with Washington playing guys around the line of scrimmage, they were kind of reading his eyes, I think, and jumping the patterns early when he tended to look at them.
Okay, and that's the thing. When safeties are up for a quarterback, what are the real issues there, and what can be done to counter that? Because obviously every team can try to do something to you to make it difficult.
Well, first, and I'm saying this somewhat in jest, but that is kind of what I used to go to church to pray for. Okay, is to make sure them safeties are up, because I enjoy that. I love that, because to me, my brain and the receptors go off and they start screaming, go deep, go deep, go deep. And you saw the adjustments even Coach Shermer made on the play to Travis Benjamin.
Right.
I mean, the long play, that was an adjustment to those safeties being up. When you have everybody around the line of scrimmage, I look at that as an insult to me as a quarterback. They don't respect me and my ability to throw deep. And you have to make those guys get the heck out of that area around the line of scrimmage. Them safeties need to be deeper, and as a quarterback perspective, it's a sign of disrespect that they're up there that close. And you just have to throw the deep ball. And we did it. Probably should, looking back, probably wanted to do it a little more.
Right.
But Coach Shermer makes a nice adjustment, puts in Travis Benjamin and takes advantage of those safeties around the line of scrimmage and hits the, I think it was, 69-yard pass.
Yep, for a touchdown. Bernie Kosar joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, the other thing is Brandon Whedon's overall mindset. And I think one of the things that this guy has shown us is resilience, that when he's had those tougher games, those tougher outings and tough losses, ones that can linger, I think, with anybody, but you especially look at the quarterback and what his mindset is. How do you see him, what you know of him, how do you see him responding from a game like this where he's going to clearly feel like, you know, he was a large part of the reason for the loss?
Well, again, I don't pin things on any one guy, but his mindset and his confidence level, I think, is really good, and that helps get past issues like this and then the ability to go on to the next game. He has a good demeanor about him to handle this. So unfortunately, it's something you don't want to be handling, but I think he can and will. Unfortunately, and I'm looking for him and check him out this week to make sure he knows, going to Denver, okay, first, it's the Peyton Manning, it's all that stuff, they're fighting for the number two seed, got all that going, but playing Denver with Von Miller and the way they come after you and the way they play that front seven and get pressure on the quarterback, he has a whole host of issues to pay attention to and deal with this week. So I think he'll get into that real quickly because it's a tough, tough challenge going there. But one of the things I definitely need to talk to him about and tell him is I've played after a lot. I've got more experience than anybody playing up in Denver. Mm-hmm. And with that high altitude and his big old arm, he overthrew a couple guys in Cleveland this past Sunday. In Denver, I would highly recommend he throws the ball, get out there Saturday and practice some throws, because that high altitude, you throw the ball a good few yards farther. So you need to be able to take stuff off your deep ball or let the guy run farther, because it's great for your ego the way at that altitude in Denver. A quarterback, punter, and kicker can get the ball going so much farther.
Yeah, it definitely.
It really does. You know, Vic, you've been out there.
I have. I feel I get the headaches when I'm out there too. Yeah, it does affect you, and you're not there long enough to really get acclimated to it, but you make such a great point. It affects the travel of the football. Absolutely.
It does. So everything, even like Hodges punting, you know, when you're trying to angle a punt, you're at the 50-yard line or the 45-yard line, and you're 55 yards away from the end zone, you know, you got to alter your thinking because you will kick it farther. And again, I say it in jest, but it's true. It's great for the ego because your ball is going to go farther, and you don't want to be punting balls from the 50-yard line into the end zone. You know, you need to take a little off it, or you need to angle it, because the flight of the ball is definitely going farther.
Yeah, you want to feel good from an ego standpoint, but you want to be accurate too. Yeah,
yeah, and again, you don't want to be from the minus 40-yard line getting a 60-yard punt, but it goes in the end zone, so they get the ball in the 20. I mean, you have to really play the mental game, and that's why I was a big believer in getting on that field on Saturday and doing something where you could see and test it, or going early to the stadium on Sunday, because you need to test it out, because people talk about it. When you're young, you really don't believe it, but it does happen. It is a factor.
Speaking of mindset, looking at the running game and just seeing how, with Trent Richardson, how things have not gone the way that I'm sure he wants them to, or anybody does, with not having those explosive carries. He is finding the end zone and finding it like crazy with 11 touchdown runs, and that's been remarkable. He had the two, of course, in this last game. But, you know, his best work being done in that short, confined area, and I don't want to diminish that. But it's the work that's not happening for him, at least in terms of productivity. And it looks to me, and you brought it up earlier with regard to Brandon Whedon, you bunch things in there, certainly daring the Browns to throw because you want to eliminate Trent Richardson. But how do you get it to where he, because opponents that face Adrian Peterson are doing the same thing. So what's the difference, and how do you make it so that this young guy is starting to find those bigger opportunities?
Well, Adrian Peterson is a man all to himself. He's in a league of his own. And what he did this past weekend, those runs, you're right, it was tight, but it was extremely tight with both safeties. Very rarely do you see both safeties up like we had the other day. A lot of times you'll see one, which Adrian Peterson saw with eight in the box, but there was the deep safety and the deep third behind him. In our game Sunday, we had both of those safeties coming up into the in and around the box area where they could get to the line of scrimmage in less than half a second. They were way too close. That's incredibly troublesome for the running game. And yeah, you could say some things that maybe he's looking around. Well, if there's 11 guys in the area, I don't really blame him for looking around, because it's really challenging, to almost impossible, to block up all those guys and create a hole. And that's why, again, I'm not trying to dump on Bernie Bombs away here. I'm not trying to dump on anybody, but it's an insult to me as a quarterback to see two safeties come up and have press coverage outside. They're daring you. And I would throw, and I say this in jest, but any of my teammates know, I went back and throw three bombs in a row. And just didn't. You have to. That has to stop, because you're going to get your running back killed with all those guys up there. And it's just, again, as a quarterback, I just looked at it as a sign of disrespect.
Right.
And it just really bothers. Still bothers me today.
I was just going
to say, they're having flashbacks. I could see Gary Danielson laughing at me, because I called the same play three times in a row.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking he's got the names of those safeties who are long retired from football, but you got their list.
I got a call today from Ronnie Lott, so I'm even more like grumpy about it. You know,
hey.
I'm thinking about these safeties up in there now.
Hey, Denver, and I won't take you through the horrific memories of Denver yet. We'll maybe save that for another time. But no, but it's but here's the thing. It's Peyton.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. But Peyton Manning. Now, what an amazing story this is, and it has to be, again, in your quarterback loving mind, it has to be something to see what this guy is able to do. Neck surgery, the whole thing was his career was in doubt and all this stuff, and missed all the last year. And my gosh, he looks like he's playing better than he ever has.
Well, I'm chuckling here, because yes, that's all accurate, but on just a simplistic line of thinking, I'm not trying to say I'm Peyton Manning, but even that quarterback mentality to just succeed. So many people who are saying things negative about him. He's not going to be back. His arm isn't any good. Can't throw bombs. Won't be able to succeed. On just a simplistic ego side of it, since we've been talking about it so much during the interview, he doesn't want to fail. He doesn't want to be all those naysayers to be right. And his will to win, his drive to win, his drive to be successful is an obsession that a lot of us have. I mean, I still have it today. I'm so proud to get back into certain things I'm doing when people said you couldn't do it. Well, it's the same mindset I think Peyton Manning has. He's so locked in, focused, and this doesn't bode well for us in the Browns this weekend, unfortunately. He's so locked in and focused to be successful, to make plays, to win games. And you could see him on the sideline, you could see it in his face, and most importantly, you could see it in his play. He has his arm 100%? Nope. But he's figuring out how to throw those bombs when 11 people are up, when both safeties are up. You saw in the game last week, even with a nice lead, he threw a deep 51-yard touchdown pass down the left sideline, beautifully thrown. He's picking his spots to go deep, and he's almost like a surgeon out there. He's precisely looking at each play individually, and how could I make it successful? And he's picking people apart, and it's awesome to watch. I mean, I'm going out to Denver. I mean, as much bad memories as I have, I'm going out there because I want to see how we handle it. I want to see how Brandon Whedon comes back from the game. I want to see how we go attack him. And I want to watch Peyton Manning, because it's just an honor to watch somebody play that position like I like to play it.
And you want to pick up a ball and throw it in that altitude and just see how far it'll go.
Oh, that's right. I'm gonna get on the field and chuck a couple around. Exactly.
Bernie, thank you so much, my man.
That's great, bud.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.